direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
At Erasmus Hall High School, we used to harmonize. Me and Benny and Ira and two Italian guys. We were singing oldies, but they were newies then. And today when I play my old 45s, I remember when. We practice in a subway, in a lobby or a hall, crowded in a doorway, singing doo-wops to the wall. And if we went to a party and they wouldn't let us sing, we'd lock ourselves in the bathroom and nobody could get in, 'cause we were looking for an echo, an answer to our sound, a place to be in harmony, a place we almost found.
As far as I'm concerned, they found it. Kenny Vance and the Planetones. It is Friday Night Trivia, the first hour tonight. We're going to talk to Kenny Vance, and boy, I'm looking forward to this. As I've said many times, when people will ask if they want to see any one vocal group harmony live, what would it be? And, you know, there's so many today who, frankly, they might have been great on vinyl, but don't take it to the stage. I mean, let's face it. But if you had to pick anyone, hands down, it is Kenny Vance. Not only for his original stuff, like Looking for an Echo, but the remakes are just classic. The biggest compliment I can ever pay somebody is, my God, it was better than the original. But there are many, I feel that way, with Kenny Vance, particularly some of his a cappella stuff. So, yes, we'll hear some of that. But more to the point, we'll hear from Kenny Vance in moments right here.
The Raleigh James Show.
But before we do, let me mention, if you are a commercial driver and you are not a member of OIDA, you are missing the single easiest way to improve your lot in life. It doesn't matter whether you're an independent owner or a company driver, whether you're local or over the road. If you're driving for a living, OIDA is the only organization that is dedicated to bettering your rights 24/7. They don't do anything but that. And the reason I ask you to join is not for the wonderful benefits you will get, which are many. It's very simple. The equation when it comes to the government is more members, more clout. Represent more dues-paying Americans, you have more of a say. Right now, with 160,000 members, that's terrific. But there are millions of drivers on the road. You put a million members into OIDA, and they move from being a body that weighs in, gives input, is considered, to somebody who must have a seat at the table. And that's a world of difference. Now, considering it's $25 for your first year dues if you are a commercial driver, 6.8 cents a day, it's a no-brainer and the easiest single way to influence how OIDA interacts with Congress when it comes to legislation, or with the DOT when it comes to regulation. You can do the whole thing online at OOIDA.com, OOIDA.com. There's a join or renew link. Just click on that. A form pops up. Fill it out. Put Raleigh James in the promo code, $25 in the amount, and you're done. By the way, if you're an existing member, normally renewals are $45. But if you do it before the end of this month, it's $25 to renew. And whenever your membership expires, they tack another year onto that for the $25 rate. So that, too, is a no-brainer. The only way that OIDA will be able to make sure that your views are absolutely as important as anybody else who's working against you, which is most everybody else, is to increase the membership rolls. Single easiest way that you can improve your lot in life is to join. So OOIDA.com. If you'd rather do it by phone, you can do that too at 800-444-5791. 800-444-5791. You tell them that Raleigh sent you.
Bo, 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 bo.
Please be my girlfriend. I've been waiting for a long, long time for that moment I can call you my.
Yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
girlfriend? Please give my heart one little chance. And we can build a sweet romance. I really love you so. I'll be faithful and true.
I could go on all night doing this, but I got a chance to talk to Kenny Vance, so we will do that. Welcome to the Raleigh James Show. How are you, Kenny?
Good. How you been?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Doing fine. Always better when I play your stuff. And every CD I get, I say to myself, my God, this is even better. It's terrific stuff. And so I got to ask you, the first thing I thought about, because when John and I were driving recently, I played Gloria, and he said, you know, every group you ever have played me does Gloria. I said, yeah, nobody does it as well as Kenny Vance. But you certainly not only a contributor, an artist, a writer, and everything else, but truly also a student of this. Is there any more covered record ever than Gloria?
Gee, I don't know. I know. It's pretty covered.
If you could think of anything covered. Even close, does anything else fit in the same league to you?
Maybe, excuse me, maybe Louie Louie.
Oh, no. And, you know, I know you've got that on a CD, actually.
Yeah,
and
I covered it. I actually recorded it on that CD that we have had on Collectibles, Countdown to Love. It's on there. But I actually recorded it with John Belushi for Animal House.
That's great. Really?
But, you know, there's a book. Dave Marsh has a book. Well, Louie Louie.
Yeah.
And it's the history of it, you know, from the time that Richard Berry first heard it being played through the floor. He was in the dressing room, and I think there was a Latin group on, and they were probably playing something that had doom, 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 boom, boom, boom. And he somehow turned it into Louie Louie and recorded it. Originally, I think in 1955, with Richard Berry and the Pharaohs, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it has a whole history where it wound up traveling up to Seattle, where the Wailers recorded it. And then, of course, you know, the Kingsmen had the big hit with it. But over the years, I think every group that ever started out probably, you know, rehearsed with that song.
It's interesting you say that, because the record to which you are referring, which you heard through the floor in Orange County, was El Loco Cha-Cha, and that's Rene Touzet. And, in fact, we play that fairly regularly because I have all of Rene Touzet's stuff, and he's always been one of my faves, mostly for Julie is her name, but El Loco Cha-Cha as well. But the interesting part... you don't even know
that. I don't really know. Julie is her name?
Yeah, that's the instrumental I play. But El Loco Cha-Cha is what Louie Louie comes from. And I was just sitting here trying to see if John comes in, he can actually pull a CD for me.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear it. Rene
Touzet. In fact, we can send you a copy of that. Just put them
on
to give
away.
Oh, yeah,
I'd love it.
Yeah,
because I
give them away, actually. That's one of our trivia prizes. So he's going to pull it. And, in fact, the first time I heard the Kingsmen do Louie Louie, the first thing I thought, because I was really into Rene Touzet, he was a Cuban artist, I said, you know, wow, this is Rene Touzet. And, of course, then somebody quickly said to me, no, it's Richard Berry. And for years, I didn't realize that Richard Berry actually admitted to getting it from Rene Touzet. But the interesting part of that, of course, as you well know, is Richard Berry was without the royalties until 5 years before he died.
I know.
And that was darn near criminal. But, wow, you know, I never thought I'd be able to play something you didn't know. So with that in mind, I will.
Okay.
This is like my big day. My God, I've stumped Kenny Vance. This can't be possible.
Yeah.
But in case you do want to hear it, here you go.
Oh, yeah, I'd love it.
Here you go. Thank you. Is crazy. I don't have any problem being called crazy. I'm crazy for the cha-cha, El Loco cha-cha. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as you hear it, you say,
that's great.
So we'll send you that.
Wonderful.
We'll absolutely send you that. But when you covered Louie Louie, I actually was a little surprised because when I think of all the great vocal group harmony, Louie Louie usually doesn't come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there you have it, and you have it next to I Really Love You and You Cheated. And in fact, that's you've got it on Dancing and Romancing. And when I heard that, my first thought was, which of these doesn't belong? And so that raises yet another question, because when you think about people who are coming to your appearances and requesting stuff, you usually don't think that that's the group that wants to hear Louie Louie, but obviously I'm wrong. So I assume
we don't.
It goes together?
You know what? We I don't know if we've ever really done it live. it was just, you know, I don't know. We just somehow had the idea to do it. What we did was we basically got the lyrics from the Richard Berry record,
mm-hmm.
So we didn't sing any dirty lyrics, and we incorporated. Johnny Gale blew, you know, the solo note for note from the Kingsman record.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is. It's very nice. Now, when you are performing live, since you're at so many venues, in fact, Sunday night you'll be at another Jerry Blabbitt show in Philly at the Kimmel Center, where
right.
you're always the knockout part of that, more so.
That's where we met.
Else. Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
8 years ago now.
Been it is while. 8 years.
Yeah, yeah. And
I remember we spoke once. We were opening for Jay Leno.
Yes.
At the MGM Grand, and we did an interview from backstage.
Yeah, yeah, and that was a lot of fun.
It's a while. It's quite a while.
And you have been going nonstop since. And in that period of time, what is your most requested song?
I guess Looking for an Echo.
I can see that, and that, of course, is a signature song for you, probably more than anything else.
People love This I Swear.
Yeah.
Angel Baby.
Okay.
I would say that. Those three come to mind.
Yeah, and Your This I Swear is just, that's one of those where I said at the beginning that your remakes I like better than the original, and I love the Skyliners, but I think you leave them in the dust on your version of This I Swear.
Well, it's just different. I mean, Jimmy Beaumont was the guy that we all grew up with. He was the greatest.
Yeah.
And those records were just so, so amazing. And so, you know, I didn't want to copy that. I just, you know, basically, the song is such a beautiful love song. And that's kind of the way I heard it 45 years later.
Yeah.
And that's how we recorded it.
Yeah, and it's terrific. Now, of course, you go back to when a lot of this music was new, as I say in the autobiographical, Looking for an Echo. And obviously, along the way, you've appeared with virtually everybody. I mean, and still are. Gary U.S. Bonds will be in the next couple nights. But many, many others. Some of the groups, frankly, I'm sure you agree, we won't mention any names. It's almost better that they not be on stage anymore. Others come across, and, you know, I have the oh, wow experience. Of all the groups you've appeared with in the last decade, who do you get chills hearing and say, hey, they still are every bit as good?
I have to say Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Okay. I can hear
that. They certainly do it for me. Eugene Pitt is still great.
Yes, the Jive 5. That would be the one. That was the one where my mouth hung open when I heard him. In fact, I heard him one day. He'd just gotten out of the hospital, sick as could be, and he just sounded like he did in, you know, in 1959.
Absolutely. There's something about him, his spirit. He's just a beautiful, beautiful person.
Yeah.
And he's still got it. He's got to be 70.
Oh, easy.
But when Little Anthony and the Imperials come out, they usually open the audience. You know, we've played with them in some pretty remote places, And the audience, you know, they don't really know what it is anymore. They don't know if it's one of those acts where they don't have it. And he comes out on the stage and he does, "You don't remember me?" And as soon as he hits that, it's the same guy that everybody remembers from 1958.
Yeah.
And they were just inducted, by the way, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Thank God. Because there's far too many artists who get inducted where I say, "What, are you kidding me?" And far not enough vocal group harmony. So that's terrific.
Yeah,
they absolutely deserve that. Now, you, of course, I knew of you later in your career comparatively because it was 1978 when American Hot Wax came out.
Right.
And that was terrific exposure, but you were doing a lot way before that. In fact, I should have known you were a founding member of Jay and the Americans.
Correct.
And so, prior to that, what were you doing?
Prior to that?
Prior to Jay.
I was growing up.
Okay. All right. So Jay and the Americans was the first real major...
No, actually, I think that I was in Jay and the Americans when I was 18.
Okay.
And then before that, when I was 15, I was in a group called the Harbolites.
Wow. Okay.
And then we were managed by a guy named Jim Gribble in the in 1697 Broadway, which is the Ed Sullivan Theater building, which is now where the David Letterman show comes from.
Right.
And in that building, there were all of these fly-by-night record companies. And you would just, you know, take an elevator up to the top floor and start coming down and knocking on the doors. And we basically had an audition with some people, and we made a record. And Jim Gribble signed us up to management. He had Al Cooper and Paul Simon and... the Mystics and the Passions and the Mellow Kings and the Jarmels and, basically Jay Traynor is where we met Jay Traynor.
Mm-hmm.
And we started singing some a cappella stuff, and we had a meeting with Jerry Lieber and Mike Stola, who at that time were the two biggest independent producers in the country, producing the Coasters and writing, you know, all of these phenomenal songs like Love Potion Number 9 and Yakety Yak, Charlie Brown, Searchin'. And also they wrote, produced The Drifters.
Mm-hmm.
And they also wrote Hound Dog and produced Big Mama Thornton singing Hound Dog.
Yeah.
And also I think they produced some of the music for Jailhouse Rock. So they, you know, we went to audition for them, and they made some records with us. And the second record that we made, you know, became a huge hit, which was called She Cried. And basically, before that, you know, I was just a kid, you know, listening to Alan Freed on the radio.
Sure.
And loving this music because, as you know, in those days, it was a different world. And adults had their own world. And as kids, we were looking for something that, you know, that we could connect to. And it was that music. It was the Moonglows. It was the Nutmegs. It was the Harp Tones, the Moonglows, the Dells, and Buddy Holly, and Elvis, and, you know, Fats Domino. And before, when I was, maybe 13 or 14, Alan Freed had his first rock and roll, the first ever rock and roll show, you know, maybe in this world, and he had it at the Brooklyn Paramount. And I was a kid; I would wait online and go in there. And you know, in those days, they'd have a show, then they'd have the movie, then they'd have the show, then they'd have the movie. I would sit there all day.
Oh yeah.
And see, you know, Lee Andrews and the Hearts and James Shepherd and the Heartbeats and Buddy Holly and George Hamilton IV singing A Rose and a Baby Ruth, Serino and the Bowties, Lillian Briggs, Nappy Brown. And, you know, it was kind of like I found a home. And, you know, when I was there and I heard the music, it just kind of... kind of took me over.
Yeah.
And luckily, here it is 50 years later, and, you know, I'm still basically connected to that same feeling that I had when I went to the Alan Freed show, and I try to put that feeling into our performances and into the CDs that we make.
And you do it. You absolutely do it.
Well, thank you. You know, it's really, it's not complex. It's, you know, I'm just lucky to be able to do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because what you're saying, I think, is true for many people. You didn't get into music. Music got into you. And so you're reflecting it, and you're still able to, which is the big difference, because when you start to look at the lineup on any of those shows, you know, millions of dollars worth of music that guys between them weren't getting a grand, and most of them, for whatever reason, were as quickly gone as they came. And I think one of the big differences is that you, in addition to your talent, have the good sense to also realize that this is a business. It's the music business, and treat it as such. So I think that probably, as much as your artistry, explains your staying power. But, of course, without the music, there would be no staying power. We're talking to Kenny Vance. I promise we'll hear a lot more and talk a lot more, too, going back to the days when not only were Lieber and Stoller writing, but owning record labels that, you know, again, were to the mainstream media virtually worthless, which is exactly why the creativity that came from a Spark Records or a Redbird could thrive. And thriving it still is with Kenny Vance and the Planetones. Planetones .com. I got a link to this, but I've got to find it here, and Kenny will tell us in a minute. But it's Planotones, and all the upcoming gigs and all that are at the website. So should have been better prepared for that, but we will in moments come back to that.
Girlfriend.
It's the Raleigh James Show. The Empress of the Interstates, Raleigh James.
Well, no offense to the stereos, anybody in Steubenville, or even everybody at Cub Records. Kenny Vance puts the original in the dust. That, of course, I Really Love You, a wonderful doo-wop song. And it is planotones.com, planotones.com. There you go. Don't know why that's so hard to say. I've got it bookmarked. It's easy to find. And you can see what Kenny is doing in terms of upcoming gigs. And also you can walk down memory lane and find out he's been involved with everything from Saturday Night Live to one of my favorite movies, Hairspray, a true story of Buddy Dean, even though they don't necessarily cop to that. But what what a wonderful movie. And if you're looking at the title song, you'll be talking with the guy who produced it again in moments, as well as composer of the original score. So there. All right. Working with John Waters. That has to be a story. I'm sure we'll get there, too. So Kenny Vance, our guest, of course, the Planetones. You can see them in a number of places. But if you are going to be in Philadelphia Sunday night, Jerry Blavitt's Roots of Rock and Roll, he will be there. Tomorrow night, the Hollis Hills Jewish Center, which is in Hollis Hills, New York. He'll also be there along with the Happenings, yeah. On the 25th in Suffern, New York, along with Leslie Gore at the Lafayette Theater. And you can go look at everything else coming up. Of course, Valentine's Day with Lou Christie and Gene Chandler, one of my faves. Frankie Ford, that's going to be quite the concert, and that's at the Union County Performing Arts Center in Rahway. So should you be near the East Coast, no shortage of opportunities to see Kenny Vance. And if you are anywhere, no shortage of opportunities to go to planetones.com and buy any of the CDs.
The Raleigh James Show.
I want to mention getting rid of the phone company, which, if you've seen your bill lately, probably sounds like a swell idea. You know, while everybody is looking for ways to cut expenses, usually that also means cutting quality or services. But what if I told you you could cut expenses pretty dramatically on this, increase your quality, increase your services, and you're saying, what's the catch? Well, if you have a broadband connection to the internet, like a cable modem or a DSL line, you're good to go. That's the only thing you need. Now, what we're talking about is digital phone service, and frankly, a lot of people supply it. The phone company does, actually. They don't necessarily push it, but they do. You know, your cable company, if you have a cable modem, is pushing it on you. You hear a lot of talk from the Woohoo advertiser on television. Use them. Well, the one thing that all those companies have in common is the same thing the phone company lacks in, and that's they have no customer service to speak of. But what if you're looking for customer service? Well, until recently, I said you're plumb out of luck, and then I found the people at VOIP Your Life, VoIP Your Life, because digital phone service is voice over internet protocol, VOIP. Not only do you dramatically decrease your price, well, you want unlimited calling to the USA and Canada, $23.97 a month, that is it, increase your features. Every feature the phone company's ever given you, in, you know, the voicemails and the caller ID and the call waiting and all that. And at no charge, additional phone numbers that are local to friends and family. In other words, let's say you've moved out to Phoenix, but your friends are still back in the Bronx. Well, get a number in the Bronx. It'll be local to them to dial. It'll ring where you are, and nobody will pay anything. So that's a neat feature as well. Quality, well, it's good enough that we switch to it for our on-air lines to improve our quality where we are. But here's where VOIP Your Life leaves everybody in the dust. They have customer service. Everything done in the United States of America by Americans. Tech support is 24/7. None of these recordings, all our agents are busy. Somebody answers the phone right away, knowledgeable and able to help you, but you probably never need tech support because the stuff works. But as far as their business office, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time, somebody answers the phone right away. None of these, your call is important to us. Hold on for a week. Somebody who really answers the phone, gives you their name and a callback number and helps you. So you're again saying there's got to be a catch. No, there's no catch. You're going to use the same phone you're using right now, and you're going to keep your phone number. So nothing changes except you pay a lot less and get a lot more. And for the first time in the history of telephony, you get customer service. VOIPyourlife.com. VOIPyourlife.com. You can read all about it. Otherwise, Monday, I'm going to give you a phone number. You give them a call, and you're going to see what I mean about their customer service. And that is 888-369-8647. 888-369-8647. And you tell them that Raleigh sent you. VOIPyourlife.com.
You know, when you have a friend that touches you deep inside, the hardest thing in the world to let them walk out that door. And even though they've made a decision, you and I both know there's only one real way to tell. You know I think about you. Good times we shared along the way.
After living in three dozen cities, guess where she's living now? On your radio, Raleigh James.
That's definitely one of mine. Take 100 songs to a desert island. That would definitely be on it. And, of course, Kenny Vance sings it. Kenny Vance wrote it. Touch Will Tell. That's just beautiful. Do you do that in concert? Yeah, do
not
you?
Really.
No, you should. It's a great song.
I love it. I really do love it.
Yeah, yeah, and I know it's a mood song, so, you know, it has to be
at the
right
sometimes
moment.
We, like, you know, some of the shows that you just mentioned, we're only going to get to do a half hour.
Ah.
So, you know, you do Come Go With Me, Oldies But Goodies, Oh What a Night, Diamonds and Pearls, Gloria.
Yeah.
Angel Baby and Looking for an Echo.
Right, and you're off, right.
And that's it, you know. But we do this thing called Unplugged, and we've been doing it for a while now, and it's where basically start off with me coming out, and we kind of dress the stage like we're in my basement,
mm-hmm.
and it's everything is kind of askew, laid around the amps and drum cases and guitar cases, and basically I'll come out and I'll play a couple of songs, and I have played that one, and I'll play This Magic Moment,
yeah.
I'll play some, or Countdown to Love, some things that I do myself, and then there's kind of a knock at the door, and one of the guys comes in, keyboard player, and I'll do a song with him, and then by the end of the first hour, the whole group is in, and we'll do the Ten Commandments of Love. We'll do one of the songs you played, I Want To, the Joe Tex song.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an intermission, and then we come out for another hour, an hour and 15 minutes, and we do like more of a, you know, a regular show. So it's just us, and to me that's my favorite thing. I get to play Touch Will Tell.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can see that, because there's a very big difference between the people who are ardent fans of vocal group harmony and the people who swoon, say, over Gloria, saying, I haven't heard that in so long. And you kind of look at them and say, what? Yeah. You know? But when you're doing the, you know, 90 groups in 90 minutes kind of thing, sure, you play the hits, as it were. But as far as Unplugged, is there one of those scheduled anytime soon?
They are. Actually, I don't know. Let me just take a quick look. There's one coming up January 30th at Queens College.
Oh, okay, great. Great. Yeah. Yeah. You should have your own channel on satellite radio. You could definitely fill it up. That's for sure. So, you know, let me get back to Jay and the Americans for a moment, because I was just checking email. In fact, somebody wrote and said, oh, definitely start the show with Caramia. Well, didn't see that early enough. But in terms of your association, you were a founding member. You were there from the beginning. When did you leave?
Well, it was it was only 12 years. You know, I like now you look back at it and it seemed like an eternity at the time.
Yeah.
And it went through a bunch of different incarnations, where at first there was Jay Traynor.
Right.
We recorded She Cried, and then whatever. I mean, I could tell a long story, and then Jay Black came in, and mm-hmm. we recorded Only in America.
Right.
And we recorded excuse me.
Come Dance With Me and
Come A Little Bit Closer.
Yeah, Biggest Hit.
Let's Lock the Door, Sunday and Me, and then Caramia.
Mm-hmm.
And then Some Enchanted Evening, and then Crying,
mm-hmm.
and then
This magic moment
in 69. And in 68, we had an office in the Brill Building where I met Donald Fagen and Walter Becker, and they became part of the Jane and the Americans band, which consisted of basically four people.
Mm-hmm.
And Becker played bass, Fagen played piano.
Wow.
And then we record. They left in 70, and in 71 we had a hit with Walking in the Rain. And basically, I don't know, about a year after that, that was basically the group broke up. And a few years after that, I recorded the original version of Looking for an Echo. And then after that, I wound up in the film business.
Yeah, which is really neat because there's something about that exposure that really puts it to the masses who, yeah, they knew Karamia and, yeah, they've heard of Jay and the Americans. But beyond that, knowledge is fairly limited. Suddenly, you're doing movie scores. And, of course, you were acting in American Hot Wax. Was that your first on-screen appearance?
No, actually, I was in a movie. I think my credit was Man at Urinal.
What was the movie?
And it was called You Gotta Walk It Like You Talk It or You Lose That Beat. And that was a soundtrack that I did with Donald and Walter. You could check it out.
Yeah, on CD now. That's Steely Dan, and, right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and we did that in 1970. I produced it, and I sing some of the songs. And a friend of mine did the movie, and he says, we were at the St. George Hotel, and Richard Pryor was sneaking under a pay toilet. And I needed to, so he needed a few people for the urinal. So I'm man at the urinal.
Method acting. All right. Well,
yes.
That's great.
It's Stella Adler.
Yeah. And so then, yes, as far as acting debuts, we can still go with American Hot Wax, I think.
Yeah, I think you could stick with that, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's where, basically, you know, it was such a wonderful job. They didn't know me, you know, and they flew me out to Paramount Pictures, and they met me. And that afternoon, they said, okay, you got the job. And part of the job was to recreate the Alan Freed show.
Yes.
That I had gone to as a kid.
Yes.
And I did get Chuck Berry. I did get Screamin' Jay Hawkins. I did get Jerry Lee Lewis and Frankie Ford and Larry Williams, who unfortunately they cut out of the movie.
Yeah.
And I needed to so I had those actual people, and I really needed to put together a few other groups. As a matter of fact, in the D-Lights, the lead singer on Mr. Lee is Brenda Russell, who wrote the music for A Color Purple.
Oh, sure.
And won the Tony, I think, for that. And there were other people. Richard Perry was the record producer. And they needed a group. And I thought, well, you know, I could do that. And
sure.
I got a couple of friends of mine, and we called ourselves Professor Laplano and the Planetones. And that was our first... our first movie and the first appearance of the Planetones, that was in 1978, approximately.
Yes.
And then it was about, I took a 14-year break, and then in 92, reformed the Planetones. So it's now I'm doing the Planetones 16 years.
Wow. Okay, so I got to ask, between 78 and 92, what were you doing during that break?
Well, in 78, then after American Hot Wax, I did Animal House,
mm-hmm.
and then I did The Warriors, and then I got a job. I actually did a Latin record where I sing in English, and I do a duet with Ruben Blades.
Oh, wow.
And in The Warriors, I do a duet with Ishmael Miranda, who is the singer for... Willie Colon, and then, of course, Ruben Blades took over for him. The original lead, the singer for them was the guy El Cantante.
Mm-hmm.
The movie that Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony were in, and he played Hector Lavoe. I don't know if you're familiar
yeah.
with the salsa guys.
Sure.
In New York in the 70s. And then I was the music director on Saturday Night Live in 1980 and 81. And then in 84, I did Eddie and the Cruises.
Mm-hmm.
I produced On the Dark Side with John Cafferty. And I did Hairspray some parts in there.
Yeah.
And I did, I don't even remember, but Streets of Fire, where I wrote the song Countdown to Love for the movie. Just, you know,
that's
what I wound up doing. And then I think I did a movie with William Peterson called Long Gone, a baseball movie for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
I did the Carolyn Warmus story with, what's her name? Virginia Madsen.
Okay.
And then I had enough of that, and I thought to myself, I got to get out of Hollywood and get away from these people.
Right, I can understand that.
I got into this business to be a singer, and I'm going to try to do it again. And I think I was about 50 at that time, and people said to me, you know, you're crazy. No one knows who Kenny Vance is and the Planetones, and I didn't care.
Right.
I just had to do it. And slowly, here it is 16 years later, you know, we're still at it. And my spirit is still intact. So that, I think, is the thing that propels it.
Yeah, and it comes across. But your work on American Hot Wax was so wonderful because of all the biopic kind of movies. That one really was, in so many ways, even the nuances, so true to life. And it wouldn't have been without you. You can just feel it. In fact, one of those lines, when Tim McIntyre is in the studio and he turns up the music because he knows that the listeners know if you're listening, things like that are just, they're nuances that people don't realize, but so classic. And, of course, all the people who came out of that movie, from Fran Drescher to Jay Leno, it was an amazing, even Cameron Crowe, it was a fairly amazing cast. And so my question is, and maybe you don't know, but why was this never officially released on VHS or DVD?
Well, I think it wasn't released officially because, first of all, I think there's so many songs in it.
Okay.
It's wall to wall.
Yes, it is.
And I don't think at that time that American Graffiti, there aren't that many songs.
Right.
Not as many as there are in Hot Wax.
Right.
And so I think it was prohibitive at the time.
The rights.
To secure the rights. Okay. And they didn't know at that time that, you know, that DVDs and all of that was going to be the business of the future.
Yeah.
So I think that's why, and I might be mistaken, but that's what I think.
Well, that was my guess as well. I thought it might be a rights issue, because you're right, it is so music rich and you know, such a wonderful legacy, because there really isn't anything else like it. I mean, to an extent, like I say, Hairspray is the story of Buddy Dean more than John Waters might like to admit it, but still not nearly as biopic as Hot Wax. But how was it to work with John Waters?
Oh, you know, he's a quirky guy, and he certainly, you know, has his mind set on what he wants, and also, you know, he deals with a subject matter that he is the closest to, because he did grow up in Baltimore.
Right.
And he really, you know, like they were smart enough to hire me to do American Hot Wax because I was at the show.
Exactly.
And I grew up in Brooklyn, and I really understood what that was. And I think with John Waters, because he knows the subject matter so well, that he is demanding to get, you know, what it is that he remembers from his perspective. So, you know, it was interesting to be around him, and interesting, you know, on that level. But that's what I remember at the time.
Yeah. Well, at least it wasn't.
From that time.
At least it wasn't.
Pardon?
Pink. I say at least it wasn't Pink Flamingos. But in any event, as usual, when I talk to somebody like you, and there's nobody really like you, we've gone through an hour far too fast. So I will ask if we can impose on you to do this again.
Fine, I'd love to. I miss both of you guys. How's it going?
It's going fine. In fact, I promise I will give you a call off the air. How late do you usually stay up?
During the week, okay?
Excellent. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Kenny.
All right. All the best. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
All righty. So planetones.com. Check it out. And trivia next.
All the time.
All time, all time, all time, all time.
Keeps ringing all the time.
All time, all time, all time, all time.
Keeps ringing all the time.
It's the Raleigh James Show.